What's going on, guys? It's Andy from VeggiePowerDaily.com, your online plant-based personal trainer and author, and I'm here with my co-host, Marcos Hurtado, a plant-based personal trainer, and today we're going to bring you 15 ways to increase your testosterone levels naturally on your plant-based diet. So why? Why does someone like yourself want to increase testosterone levels naturally? What are the benefits of doing so? Well, a few of the benefits are increased muscle mass, leaner body mass, helps control weight, increases overall energy, better workouts, better training, and just an overall better sense of well-being. So today, me and my man Marcos, we're going to be sharing with you 15 different ways on how you can put this into action right now and increase your testosterone levels naturally. What's going on, Marcos?
Yo, how's it going? How's everyone doing?
Good, man. I'm excited about today. This is one of my favorite topics to talk about, and I've written an article about this a long time ago. It hasn't been published yet, so I'm really excited to share some of these tips, especially because this is a topic that doesn't get discussed enough in the plant-based community, so I'm excited about sharing some tips with you guys.
Oh, I agree too. Like, hasn't been discussed enough. It's actually something I haven't spoken about myself neither, so this will be like my first time presenting like my insight on maintaining testosterone on a plant-based diet and also while doing strength training too.
Awesome, man. So the first thing I want to talk about, how to increase your testosterone levels. First tip I want to mention, this is probably going to be the most important one out of them all: getting enough calories per day. Avoid staying in a caloric deficit for too long. Now, when you guys hear this, what exactly is a caloric deficit? A caloric deficit is when you consume less calories than what your body burns per day. And if you're in a caloric deficit for too long, or if you're in a caloric deficit and it's not intentional, then this can lower your testosterone for sure to a certain degree. It might not be extremely different, but you'll still see a slight drop in testosterone levels. Well, does this mean that you shouldn't be in a caloric deficit? Well, that really depends on your fitness goals. If your goal is fat loss, you're gonna have to be in a caloric deficit, but the goal is to finish whatever fitness goal you have, whether it's fat loss, go over with quickly to ensure that you're not in a deficit for too long. Because to a certain degree, a caloric deficit can lower your testosterone levels. And especially if you're slightly under eating every single day and you're not aware of it, for your testosterone levels. So I would first find out what your caloric maintenance is and ensure that you're consuming enough calories. Our next tip that we have today is consuming enough fat. As personal trainers, when we interact with different individuals, we've probably gotten the does consuming dietary fat make you fat? But the mistake that people typically make is they assume that the fat that they consume is indirectly gonna make them fat. But the thing is, they're not aware that eating too many calories, it's what's going to actually make them fat. And that's a common mistake I see. And so many individuals are avoiding dietary fat altogether to prevent fat gain. And that's affecting their testosterone levels in a negative way. And if they simply consume all three macronutrients in a balanced way, that will ensure that they have a healthy amount of testosterone, overall health in general. And that's a common mistake I see. And this was a common mistake I made myself when I first started my fitness journey. I stayed away from dietary fat for a long time. And that's a common mistake I see that lowers testosterone levels quite significantly. And if you guys want to learn more information about testosterone levels and dietary fat, I'm going to go ahead and link in the description a study that I found on this very topic. And Marcos, I'm curious to hear from you. Have you heard from a lot of people say that? Because as a personal trainer, I hear that a lot about dietary fat and fat gain.
Yeah, pretty often. Like, a lot of people tend to shy away from like avocados or like almonds because they have like high amount of fat. But it's like essential fats that we need to function healthily in our body. So a lot of people just probably like read like an article or heard from an illegitimate source that eating fat will make you fat. So people usually just hear one little tip, regardless of the credibility of the person, and they just roll with it. And every time they hear like the opposite, they get like a little bit defensive sometimes. But then once you explain it to them like a little bit more clearly how the benefits of eating specifically plant-based fats, especially when they're like in a pure form and it's in its whole state, like for example, fresh from the avocado, or like straight from like from the nuts, yeah, from like a peanut or an almond. It's like the healthiest way you can consume like a fat, or even from seeds too.
Dude, you nailed it right there, because avocados and different nut sources are great sources of fat, and not only are they great sources, they're also like super delicious, and they should pretty much be staple dietary fat if you're following a plant-based diet. Like, what else is there? Avocados, we got peanut butter,
chia seeds, hemp seed.
Yeah,
I don't mention hemp seed like in every episode, I think, but yeah.
Oh, actually, you want to stay away from flax seeds. I think we slightly mentioned this in our last podcast.
Yeah,
they've been known to lower your testosterone levels quite drastically, actually. I was planning on talking about this topic a little bit later into the podcast. Let me quickly go over what the study has found. So one of the studies was that there were three different women who went under, who were studied, that were drinking a type of tea that had mint in it. And it found that it lowered their testosterone levels by at least 40%. So mint is one of those foods that lowers testosterone. And that was very similar to the one that took place regarding the tea. And that resulted in the same type of deal where it lowered their testosterone levels quite drastically. And I would avoid that. But mint is super delicious. You know, it's in a lot of different holiday treats and things. And it's really hard to avoid. But if higher testosterone levels is your goal, then that's one of the things that you unfortunately have to stray away from the best you can. I mean, you can't really completely avoid it because mint's in like almost everything, but it's one of those things that you kind of want to stay away from. And I was really shocked when I heard about this.
Yeah, same here. I remember you mentioned it like a few weeks ago about mint and flaxseed. Those threw me off. I didn't know about that. And I've actually like remembered about it a few times while like going grocery shopping. Well, I don't really buy it too much, or whenever like out eating somewhere and making sure not to eat flaxseeds or mints or whenever possible. And also sharing this with people that might be interested in knowing so too.
Exactly, man. Exactly. So if you guys want to check out that study I found, I'm going to go ahead and link that in the description as well about the study that took place on mint and flax seeds. I'm going to link that in the description. And I'm going to kind of go back to what we were talking earlier about dietary fat, and people are afraid of that fat will make them fat. So that brings us to the question is, how much dietary fat should you consume per day to optimize your testosterone levels on a plant-based diet? And what I've personally found is, whether I'm dieting or whatever fitness goal I have, going below 30% of my daily calories, not fat, is kind of has a negative impact on my testosterone levels. For speaking from personal experience, I feel really tired and some of the other negative experiences that come from lower testosterone levels. And I found that keeping my fats at around 35% to 40% of my overall caloric intake helps me feel more energized. I have better training sessions, better sleep, and tested this myself. I've compared my testosterone levels to when I consumed little to no dietary fat versus having my overall calories from dietary fat be 35%. And the difference between the two is night and day, like in regards to how I feel, my overall productivity, just my training in the gym and just altogether. And that's something I would advise, especially if you're dieting. I wouldn't fall into the whole fad that lowering your fat, dietary fat intake will result in faster fat loss. I would keep your fats at an optimal level where your hormones are still in check, you know?
Yeah. Also, my question that listeners might have is, how do you calculate or measure your testosterone levels? Because I know you mentioned
how do you
it's like through everyday activities like training and just doing what we do, we're able to feel whether testosterone levels or energy levels are either too high or too low. How could like most of the listeners, if they're wondering, how could they measure it? Possible.
That's a really good question. And what they can do is they can either get a blood test or, yeah, I think that's one of the most common ways I've seen. That's personally how I've done it too. I got my blood tested and the person, they let me know like where I am and what are my levels were and things like that. I have access to that data. But as your testosterone levels are concerned, you will kind of, let's say that someone doesn't want to go and get it checked and you're experiencing the symptoms of having lower testosterone, that's how you know you have lower levels of testosterone. And when you have higher levels of testosterone, you're a totally different person than if you were to have lower levels of testosterone. And that's one way to tell too. If you're experiencing some of the negative symptoms, such as like feeling really depressed, headaches, low libido, and just all of those other symptoms that come along with it, those other like terrible symptoms that come along with it, you'll know when you have lower testosterone. It's not very hard to tell, but you can get it. You can get your blood checked and you can tell that way. And another way to tell is just pure, just based on how you feel and your overall sense of well-being, to be fair.
Gotcha. That's good to know for our listeners. Just so if they're feeling off, they just go get the blood check, or just follow the steps that we're going over right now, or doing both.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly, man. That's a good call. You know, you got to look out for our podcast viewers, you know.
Yep.
So our next point is going to be on something that I've incorporated 3 years ago that changed my life in every way in regards to overall productivity, overall helped me reach my fat loss goal with ease, the other benefits for my skin and just overall health. And I know that my co-host Marcos incorporated this into his own routine as well. And it benefited his life in so many ways too. And that brings us to our next topic, is intermittent fasting. So what is intermittent fasting? Let me quickly go over that in about one or two sentences. If you guys want to learn more about intermittent fasting in depth, I'm going to go ahead and link an article I wrote on this topic and how to follow it on a plant-based diet. But so intermittent fasting is basically a period of time after you wake up. You don't eat right after you wake up. You delay your first meal anywhere from, I'd say, 4 to 8 hours on average, having an eating window where you eat only during a portion of your day, which is probably going to be around 6 to 8 hours, and you're fasting for a total of 16 to 20 hours, counting how many hours you slept. Of how I incorporated intermittent fasting is, I personally don't worry too much about an eating window, about having to eat at a certain time each day. I kind of basically just think of it as a fasting period where I delay my breakfast, my first meal, around, I'd say, 4 to 8 hours into the day. And during that fasting period is where a lot of the magic happens. There's an increase in human growth hormone, testosterone levels, and they actually did a study on this very topic of in regards to testosterone levels and intermittent fasting. And they found that in individuals who were following Ramadan, they noticed an almost like a triple boost in testosterone, a huge increase in human growth hormone, and these are significant changes too. And I'm going to go ahead and list the studies that I found on this topic as well. And if you guys want to learn more about intermittent fasting, go ahead and check out an article I wrote about this and how you can incorporate this on your vegan diet. And Marcos, how was your experience with intermittent fasting? Do you want to quickly go over your opinion on it and just how it kind of benefited you?
Yeah. So I've been doing intermittent fasting since June. So it's been about 5 months now and it's been awesome. I just feel like lighter energy wise, but I still feel strong at the same time, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen within the past 2 months, I started like increasing the intensity of my workouts and I've seen an increase in both strength and muscle. Little by little, it's nothing too drastic, but like it's been very progressive, which is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for progressive growth and nothing too extreme. I'm not looking to gain like 5-6 pounds in a month. If I gain like 3 or 4 pounds a month, I'm fine with that. And I've been able to do that while doing intermittent fasting.
Intermittent fasting is a great tool that based off what you said, a lot of people assume that intermittent fasting is only for fat loss, but a lot of people, they underestimate some of the benefits of doing it on like a, let's say on a muscle growth phase or a lean bulk where you're eating above your caloric maintenance for the purpose of gaining muscle, but people tend to overeat and self helps them keep them in that slight surplus range to make sure that they're not gaining body fat and they're only building muscle during their lean bulk or muscle growth phase. And that's one of the side benefits of intermittent fasting, along with the benefits that we talked about, which is increase in testosterone and growth hormone, which are all great stuff if you're into fitness and just want to reap some of these benefits. So the next one I want to talk about is something a little bit devious, something that's that most people ignore, and that is polyunsaturated fatty acids, also known as PUFA foods. And guys really want to avoid these foods if higher levels of testosterone are your goal. And I'm just gonna quickly go over four different, just gonna call them PUFA foods, PUFA. I'm just going to call them that, and they stand for polyunsaturated fatty acids. And some of the examples are flaxseed oil, soybean oil, walnut oil, and grapeseed oil. You guys really want to avoid these type of oils if higher testosterone levels is your goal, and if you're looking to increase them, you want to avoid saturated fatty acids. And it's not just me. Once again, guys, it's not just me saying this again. I'm going to go ahead and enlist a study for this topic as well.
Dad, I've heard something about grapeseed oil before, and actually did use it a few times years ago instead of using canola oil or vegetable oil. So what I thought it was better just because I know grape seeds are a great antioxidant, but I didn't realize that. I mean, grape seed oil is a great antioxidant, but I didn't realize that it turned into the polyunsaturated. I think of it.
Yeah, man.
I don't really remember this. It's when you cook it or when it's But anyways, after you said it, stay away from it altogether.
Yeah, I would highly advise just staying away from that and just flax seeds in general. Flaxseed oil and flax seeds in general, you want to stay away from those foods. Just if you guys want to learn more about just PUFA foods in general, I'm going to go ahead and link an article on that. Or you can just Google PUFA foods and click on the first article that came up, and that's a really informative article, and I actually learned a lot about polyunsaturated fats in regards to testosterone levels. So just Google that and click on the first link that you find on Google. That'll help you learn more about polyunsaturated fats in regards to your testosterone levels. The next topic I want to talk about is keep your fiber intake in check. Like, don't, I know that I'm just a little bit contradicting myself, because I know that there's a lot of benefits of fiber, but if you want to minimize your testosterone levels, you can't really overdo it on your fiber. I know that among the plant-based community, we have a lot of fiber-full foods, and it's kind of hard to keep that all in check, but I think that it's very, very possible. And to maximize your testosterone levels, you want to keep your fiber intake to around, I'd say, about 25 to 30 grams per day, mainly from insoluble fiber. This will help you keep SHBG in check and proper digestion and estrogen metabolism. And I'm going to go ahead and link another article below on SHBG in regards to your testosterone levels. And I'm going to link a few more studies on your fiber intake overall. And if you're looking to not over, if you guys are, let's say that, because the common thing that I was wondering when I first heard this as well is, I'm currently following a plant-based diet. I'm looking for sources of plant-based protein, but how can I maximize my testosterone levels if I'm limiting my fiber? And I've actually been doing my research on this, and I found that lentils overall have the perfect source of fiber without overdoing it, and they pack a ton of protein as well. So I found that green lentils to work the best in regards to this. And I'm curious to hear from you, Marcos. Have you heard this before? Because this actually caught me by surprise as well. About the fiber intake as well.
That caught me off guard too.
I've been doing my research a little bit more, and I recently found out about this topic as well, about limiting your overall fiber intake. And I think that most people, it's really hard to overdo it on the fiber anyway, because most people don't get enough fiber as it is. But I think that most people, they don't have to worry too much about limiting their fiber intake, as long as they're not eating fiber with every single meal. Like, you have oatmeal, and then lentils. You don't have to worry about it unless you're completely overdoing it, but it's just something to keep in the back of your mind next time you make a meal decision or anything like that. Let's say that you're looking to maximize your testosterone levels, and you have the choice between having oatmeal, let's say, versus like a bowl of rice. Well, there you go. So that brings me to my next topic of testosterone, is get the majority of protein from whole foods. Let's just avoid all this processed crap. Like, you don't need all these different things. And I know that you're really passionate about whole foods. So you want to go over a little bit for audience and how they can get the majority of their daily calories from whole foods, Marcos?
So this is going with foods that are most base states. So for example, yeah, you can still cook them like beans, rice, lentils, find them like in a whole state, and then just make sure you cook them in a way where it's not processed. Because most of the time when you buy like prepackaged foods, they add other preservatives to it, and it's usually they add preservatives to increase the shelf life. That way, they could have more in stock and be able to ship them. So, of course, just trying to find all the foods, your fruits, your vegetables, in your most whole state. So, stay away from dried foods, canned foods, because they usually, like I mentioned before, they add preservatives. So, just even when possible, growing your own foods too would help out. And of course, it's okay if you do eat like processed foods like about once a week.
Every once in a while.
Yeah, exactly. So, probably like making your diet, like for example, for a week, your calories from whole food, from whole plant-based foods should be about 6%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we see all these chemicals on labels and all these ingredients, and we're not exactly sure what they are. And most of them are detrimental to our health, not just by lowering testosterone, but also for other health reasons too.
Exactly, man. Exactly. You just kind of cut off for just a sec though.
All
right. You just cut off on the last part. We heard everything else you said, man. You're good.
Okay. So in a nutshell, just when eat as many whole plant-based foods as possible.
Exactly, man. Exactly. That's one of the benefits of already following a plant-based diet, because your diet is healthier than 99% of people as it is. And you can get the most out of it by following some of the things that Marco has just talked about right now. Is keeping your processed foods low as possible. I mean, we're only human. You can have them every once in a while, but try not to make that your main focus. Like, try not to go out of your way to get frozen refrigerator meals and all that crap. Just stay away from that stuff. And you should be fine for the most part if you're following a plant-based diet and you're staying away from processed food. Something I commonly see among the plant-based community are fake meat. It just sounds really disgusting to me, because I just don't see how fake meats, and they're usually full of PUFAs and additives in general, like we talked about earlier. So they're really best to stay away from in general if you're following a plant-based diet. I just don't see the purpose of fake meats in general. If you've gone plant-based, the whole goal is to stay away from meat and not try to replicate. I don't know. It just didn't seem like an ideal food from like a vegan philosophy perspective, also from the hormone optimization perspective as well, because it lowers testosterone and because it has PUFAs and different additives like we talked about earlier.
I've tried it before a few times before. It's like I said before, something okay, like cooking some meat maybe. Like you just say you go to a restaurant. And so I think the best way I do it, the way I see it, is I like to like go to like vegan restaurants with family and friends that aren't on a plant-based diet, just so I can try something. And I guess it's like a good transition to transition, quote unquote, to try like plant-based foods that have mock meats. That way they still have like a familiar taste. So it's good for a transition. But as a long-term, like to eat on a day-to-day basis, absolutely not. It's not one of the best ways to go. Like,
exactly, man.
It's most likely genetically modified. And also all the preservatives they add to it. So it's just a mix of chemicals that you don't want in your body at all.
Exactly, man. You nailed it right there. It's an awesome transition food, like you said. Like we talked about in the last episode, transitioning into a plant-based diet, which actually hasn't come out yet. It's going to come out soon. But thing is, foods like that, they make as a good transition for people who are interested in following a plant-based diet. But if you've been following a plant-based diet for years, let's say, it's not a great food to consume on a daily basis, you know? And I think you nailed it right there, because that's a really good point that you mentioned, is it's a great food if you're planning on going plant-based, or if you have a lot of friends that that you want to introduce them to the lifestyle. Maybe they try something that's maybe of a fake meat, but it's definitely not something you would want to consume on an every day-to-day basis if levels of testosterone and hormone optimization is your goal. Because once again, like I said before, they're full of PUFAs, polyunsaturated fats, and lots of additives and other chemicals and things that it's best to stay away from. I'll just put it at that. That kind of brings me to my next point. Thing has been going on for years, and especially among the fat loss community, people who want to lose body fat, they have this huge fear of carbohydrates. And I don't know when exactly this started, but this has been going on for as long as I can remember. So I was 15 years old, I think. One of my uncles, he was trying to lose fat, and then we were at like a family get together, and we would always have foods full of carbs, like vegan Rice Krispie treats. And he couldn't eat anything at the event because he was going low carb, and he was so afraid of carbs that kind of prided himself the whole time. And that's a common mistake I see among people who are trying to lose fat. And not only are you going to be miserable in general, and you can only do that for so long, and studies have shown that going super low in carbs does have a negative impact on your overall testosterone levels and your hormones as well as a whole. Because if you guys watch any of our episodes, you know that no matter what your fitness goal is, we always encourage a balance of all macronutrients. And this goes back to that same fact. If you're going lower in anything, that's gonna just mess up your overall hormone health. That's just what it is. If you go low in fat, if you go too low in fat, same deal. If you go too low in carbs, same deal. So just keep your overall macronutrients in a balanced way.
Even beforehand, I keep hearing about this. I think it originated from processed carbs, from like simple carbs. So from like white rice, white flour. I guess it carried over to all the carbs. So every time I meet someone, like a client or whatever, go somewhere and meet someone, and they say this is a low carb diet, I always like joke around and tell them, so you don't eat vegetables and fruit.
Exactly.
Low carb. Those are carbohydrates. So
because there was a guy who actually thought that fruits made you fat. Like fruit makes you fat.
I've heard of that before. They said, oh yeah, sugar doesn't make you fat. I'm like,
Yeah, because it has fructose in it, so it has to be fat, right?
No, not at all. Because I know some vegans that like follow the raw diet, the raw vegan diet, and it's a high very high consumption of fruits, and they're very lean or thin. So, and they've been doing it for months, if not years. Well, both months and years, and doesn't affect them. Doesn't make them bigger. No, and they're perfectly fine. They're heavy. I mean, no, healthy, not heavy, healthy.
Mm-hmm. So a good starting point is keep your carbs around 40% of your calories. You can use this as a general baseline and just play around with it depending on your goal or caloric intake. Not only are carbs important for your training, because how the hell are you going to train on a low with intensity on low carbs if you're a natural weightlifter, that is, quote unquote, if you're a natural weightlifter, you need your carbs. Not only is it important to support training, but also your overall hormones and your testosterone production. So keep your carbs around 40%, play around with it based on your goal. And I'm just going to leave it there at that. And whenever you're afraid of things like inanimate objects, you know that you're kind of doing something wrong. Don't be afraid of like things that are introduced among the fitness community. So that brings me to my next point, is consume mainly starches to fuel your training. I think we kind of went over this a little bit earlier. You need your starches to fuel your training and to have good energy levels overall. And a good source for this is white rice. It's really nutrient dense, and white rice is a great source of carb to have post-workout. I feel that when I eat white rice, on the days that I have white rice, I just have better training sessions as a whole. And consuming starches can really fuel your training. And then training with intensity has a ripple effect of increasing your testosterone levels as well. So they kind of go hand in hand. If you have higher in starches, you have better training. If you have better training, you have optimal hormone optimization, so higher testosterone levels. They kind of go hand in hand. So keep your starches pretty high on your training days, at least. Like we said before, don't fall for the myth of going low carb. I would never go low carb. Even if I was 100 pounds overweight, I would never go low carb. Probably won't. And this is from experience too, guys. I've done low carb before and I felt like absolute shit. Like my overall mood was super bad. Like all the negative effects you see of lower testosterone just basically copy pasted with the low carb diet. Diets like the ketogenic diet and things like that. But that's another topic of its own. I never suggest a low carb diet for no matter what your fitness goal is. And so that kind of brings me to my next point. Consuming nutrient dense fruits to get a good amount of micronutrients and fructose really does help you consume a good amount of micronutrients, which are also essential for higher levels of testosterone as a whole. And great place to start is consume a good amount of fruits and vegetables. I think that's the most important part. When you're consuming enough fruits and vegetables, you don't have to supplement with any like vitamins and multivitamins. You can if you want as a bonus, but if you're consuming enough of those a day, you don't have to do any of that. And I find that a lot of people have problems with their testosterone because they have a lot of nutrient deficiencies, and fruits have great micronutrients. So it's as simple as that. Just consume more fruit and don't be afraid of the fructose in it, and don't fall for the fads again, like fruits make you fat kind of bullshit, you know? Yeah,
maybe dried fruits. Like I just never.
Yeah. Maybe dried like fruits. Yeah, stay away from those.
Processed fruit juice. Yes. Raw fruit.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Yeah, stay away from dried fruits and fruit juices. Good. Those are just full of sugar and they take away the fiber, which actually is what making you full. And especially if fat loss is your goal, like the calories from fruit juices and these dried fruits, they add up. Like, have you ever had those like dried mango fruits that like? It says there are 100 calories, but then you look in the back, it's like...
mostly from the sugar.
Yeah, it's full of sugar. And just for the little piece, you get like 100 calories. And there's no way in hell that I'm only eating that little piece, you know? Like, it tastes so good that you want to eat the whole pack. And that's...
it's all added sugar, man.
Yeah. And it doesn't keep you full either.
It's a simple carb because of all the added sugar. So, yeah.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Consume real fruit. Just consume real fruit. Apple, bananas, pineapples. Those are all my favorites. Just consume those and you don't have to worry about fruit juices, like you said. And stay the hell away from dry fruits if fat loss is your goal. That's the only fat loss tip. Stay away from dry fruits. Speaking from experience, you don't want to go through the struggles that I did trying to include these different foods into my diet, even though they don't keep me full. Supplementing with the B12 and calcium can be helpful. It can help with any micronutrient deficiencies, which is actually the next thing I was going to talk about, was take care of your micronutrient deficiencies, because that's one of the causes of, that's one of the things that causes people to have lower levels of testosterone in general. So fixing those different deficiencies can help. And you can do that by consuming more fruits and vegetables and supplementing with the vitamin B12 and calcium, and that'll help you take care of that. All right, so this brings us to our last and final tip that we have for you guys, and that is training with intensity on compound lifts, compound movements. If you guys watched our first episode, you guys know that we're really encourage you guys to start incorporating more strength training and focusing on compound lifts, especially if muscle growth is your goal, and if you're a natural athlete, that's the only way to go. Because studies have shown that with testosterone, but just in general, your muscle growth has a very close indication to how strong you are, and this is what I preach, this is what I'm programs and all my courses are solely based on, and that's strength training. And common mistake I see among people that they want to optimize their testosterone levels or whether muscle growth is their goal is they focus so much on isolation movements, those bicep curls, those different cable movements, those pec flies that you see your favorite bodybuilder on Instagram performing. These aren't the way to go if you want to maximize your testosterone levels, because studies have shown time and time again that there's a bigger anabolic response from training with intensity on compound movements such as heavy weighted dips, heavy weighted chin-ups, incline presses, your deadlifts, your squat, your rack pulls. All of these things, they exhibit a higher anabolic response to this style of training. And especially if you're training with intensity as well, you don't have to do very much volume, but if you're strength training on lifts, then you're exhibiting a higher boost in your testosterone levels if you're through your training. And that's something I really want to mention within this episode, because within the context of this episode, because I found that it's so important to not only maximize the nutrition side of things, but also maximize your training side of things to overall your testosterone levels naturally on a plant-based diet. Party is, and you kind of nailed it right there, man. And the one tip I can offer making your strength training a little bit more challenging is training with intensity on strength training, like we said, induces a bigger release testosterone levels. So one way to do so is with reverse pyramid training. It's basically when you do a proper warm-up and you perform your heaviest set first. Typically, that's going to be in the 4 to 6 rep range, and then you drop down 10%, you add a rep. That's going to be in the 8 to 10 rep range, and then you drop 10%, and that's going to be in the 10 to 12 rep range. That way, as a natural weightlifter, you're training in all rep ranges, typically in the 4 to 10, depending on the different exercises. And this really improves the overall intensity of the exercise, which in result in better muscle and strength gains, and as a result, higher levels of testosterone as well, which is like a bonus, you know? Mm-hmm. You're getting the release of testosterone and you're training properly, meaning that you're doing it with proper form. You don't want to have like cheat form. You want to take care of that if you do and lower the weight and work your way back up. But
exactly.
There you guys have it. There's 15 different ways on how to increase your testosterone levels naturally. I'm going to list every single link, the study, and articles we talked about related to this topics right in the description below. If you guys enjoy this podcast, feel free to write a review, comment, and let us know what we can improve upon on our show. Also, if you'd like to learn more about optimizing your health and your fitness on a plant-based diet, I put together a list of the 7 crucial plant-based protein foods to build muscle and strength faster. So if you want to take advantage of these 7 crucial foods, like so many plant-based individuals I've worked with have, then click the link in the description to get my free copy of the vegan protein cheat sheet. A quick and easy download. So many plant-based individuals just like yourself are taking full advantage of the benefits of these foods right now, including myself and my co-host. So check the link in the description, and I'm gonna go ahead and link all the other articles and studies that we talked about in the description as well, so you can go check it out. And we will see you guys in next week's podcast.